You know, this is the third message I brought on Christ at the well, at Sychar's well. And when it talks about Sychar's well, it means the well of purchase. You know, it says there in verse 5, then he cometh to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, at the well of Jacob's well. That means the well of purchase. And Christ our Lord, God's blessed well of everlasting life, purchased our salvation, opened that fountain for cleansing. And if we look at this conversation our Lord had with this, our Savior had with this woman of Samaria at Sychar's well, the well of purchase, we have illustrated our Lord's gracious dealings with a sinner. And our Lord deals in grace with sinners. But the hardest thing in the world is to find a sinner. And if the Holy Ghost hath made one a sinner, he's a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost made him so. And you know, our Lord meets sinners where they are. He meets them where they are. He meets them at the place where they are. He came to where this woman was. He came to a well, weary and tired, sat down on that well. And she came to where this woman was going to be at this well and knew she was going to be there. And our Lord Jesus Christ, how many times did he deal with one person at a time? He dealt with a blind man by himself. He dealt with a woman taken in adultery by himself. Dealt with this woman by herself. Dealt with Zacchaeus by himself. Dealt with Abraham by himself. God deals with sinners by themselves and meets them where they are. And I'm thankful that he does that. That takes the pressure off of me. That takes the pressure off of my ability to preach. So salvation's in the Lord. And if I preach him and honor him and preach the gospel, then God will be pleased in his own time and place to do what he will with the sinner. But you know, our Lord took the initiative. He was the first to speak. He was the first to speak. And this is the first thing he told this woman to do. He says, give. I want you to give me something. I want you to give me something. He brought her attention to the word give. And give always has to do with grace. Everything that we get, God gives to us. He gives to us. And our Lord Jesus said, and give it to me. Directing her thoughts to himself. To himself. Christ always draws people to himself and directs their thoughts to himself. And in asking her for a drink, she's brought to see her helplessness. What in the world can I give you? And she revealed how prejudiced she was and the difference between Jews and Samaritans. You know, they called our Lord Jesus Christ a Samaritan. And she reveals her prejudice. She says, how art thou, being a Jew, askest of me, a Samaritan, for a drink of water? That don't happen. I'm a Samaritan. I worship false gods. I worship idols. I worship where they have two golden calves and where they got priests of the lowest sort. I worship in Samaria. And I tell you what, that's what the scripture says. They that are in the flesh, they can't understand nothing. They don't know nothing. They can't get anything. They don't understand anything. And the carnal mind is enmity against God. And she showed it right here. She showed it right here. You being a Jew, you know the Jews and the Samaritans have no dealings. And it's the same thing that they said about the Pharisees and our Lord Jesus Christ. They said, this man receives sinners. And when that woman came to wash his feet with her tears and dry them with the hairs of her head, that our Lord Simon said, if he knew what kind of woman this was, he can't be a prophet because he wouldn't let a sinner do him this way. He wouldn't let a sinner get down at his feet. Well, I tell you one thing, that's where you find every one of them. And our Lord Jesus showed how ignorant she was to the way of salvation, His own glory. He said to her, if you knew the gift, and that's the thing right there, the gift of God. You're talking to the gift of God. Christ is the gift of God. And if you knew the gift of God, and then he also said it like this, who it is, the gift and who it is that gives it. And that's the thing, beloved, people don't know who it is that gives. But if you ever find out who it is that gives, and I tell you what, in everything, and he's the one that has to give. Has to give. And he referred to eternal life using the figure of water. Living water. Living water. And he spoke of himself and how necessary water is. And also that the world, there's lots of, you know, the water's not distributed evenly in this world. Some places there's an abundance of it. There's an abundance of water here. You go some places, there's just a little bit of water. And you go other places, there's no water at all. But the water is sovereignly distributed by God Himself. And if she knew God's gift, see, our Lord Jesus Christ said, you had asked. You had asked. You would have asked. And oh, how our Lord humbled Himself. Humbled Himself to even speak to this woman of Samaria. Do you know the Bible says that He humbled Himself to behold the things that are in heaven? Had to humble Himself. The stars are not pure in His sight, neither are the angels. And He humbled Himself to behold the things in heaven. So how humble did He become to come down here and speak to a woman like this? To a person like us? Well, here's how the woman, she replied to Him when He said, if you'd have known, you'd ask of Him and He had given thee living water. Here's the first thing this woman thought. She's a natural person. She thinks naturally. And here's the first thing she said. Sir, you have nothing to draw with. How in the world are you going to give me living water? You ain't even got a bucket. You ain't got nothing to draw with. And not only that, but the well is so deep. Well, then where in the world are you going to get this living water? If you can't get it out of here, where are you going to get it? Oh, she's so blind to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one talking to her. She saw no beauty about Him, no glory about Him that she should desire. And oh my, the one that was talking to her, she saw no, but she was blind. She is full of unbelief. And let me ask you something. Here she is, she's blind, she's ignorant, she's a sinner. She's full of unbelief. Is she to be pitied for her unbelief and ignorance? Or is she to be blamed for her unbelief? That's what preachers, what they try to do. They try to get people to pity the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you something. This woman is about to bear the blame for her own sin. And if the Lord Jesus Christ hadn't come to her, she'd have lived that way and died that way. And she was occupied with material things. The first thing she says is, you got nothing to draw with. You got nothing to draw with. How in the world are you going to get water out of this well? She was occupied with material things. She is thinking of wells. She is thinking of buckets. She is natural in her thinking. She is worldly in her thinking. And that's the way. You know, Satan has a master plan. And I've said it this so many times. He's either, he wants to get you whitewashed instead of washed white in the blood of God. His master plan is to make the dead look alive. And what he does is he makes people use natural thinking. And a way to get occupied with anything is to, with anything but Christ, and who was the living water. And she was interested in a water pot. How you going to get the water? She is interested in a well. She wasn't interested in Christ. She's interested in how she's going to get this living water. And whether it's a water pot or a person in a palace, as long as it keeps anyone from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Here's Satan's master plan, is to make men and women trust anything besides Christ and look to any means besides Christ. And that's why he said, if our gospel be hid, if our gospel be hid, if you don't see it, if our gospel be hid, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them and they be converted. And if you don't see it, Satan's blinded the mind. And then she said, look what she said, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. Nothing to draw with. Her mind was on the means rather than the end of getting the living water. She was concerned with an effort instead of the result. But I'll tell you something, beloved, it won't be by her efforts or anyone else's, that it's going to be up to Christ and Christ alone to give this living water. Christ don't need a bucket. Christ don't need a well. She was limiting our Lord Jesus Christ to the use of means. How in the world are you going to get water without a bucket? And this well is so deep. And I'll tell you one thing, it's too deep for anybody to be able to get any water out of it. Christ's got to bring the water. And I'll tell you what, and he can't give this living water without something to draw with. That's what she was thinking. And some people think they can't be saved unless they're at the church house. You can't be saved unless you're at the church house. You can't be saved unless you're in a revival. You can't be saved unless you come to the front. You can't be saved unless you make a decision. You can't be saved unless you shed enough tears and repent enough and stop enough sinning. You can't be saved without any of those things. But our Lord Jesus Christ said, talked about giving, not working, not earning. And God acts independently without means except His Word. You know, He created the world just by speaking. All He did was He said, let there be, and there was. He rained manna down from heaven every morning and fed the multitude of over 2 million peoples every day for 40 years. He's furnished water to them rebels out of a rock and followed them for 40 years. He gave honey out of the carcass of a lion. And then she says, where in the world are you going to get this water at? Oh, he answered her how. Now she wants to know where it's going to come from. Where this living water is going to come from. She said, the well is deep. The well is deep, deeper than our hands can reach, I can tell you that. And where in the world is a man going to get this living water? Where is he going to get it at? Oh, I tell you what I'll do. I'll go to the law. And I'll start living right. Now I'll start trying to keep the law. I'll do the best I can. I tell you what I'll do. I'll start my flesh and I'll start working right and I'll get my flesh under control and I'll get my sin under control and I'll get myself under control and I'll do the best I can and then I'll be all right. I tell you what, I've got the strength. You know, I heard a fellow say just the other day, he said he pulled himself up by his bootstraps. How in the world you pull yourself up by your bootstraps? Huh? How's that done? Pull yourself up from what? Pull yourself up from what? See, people make the dumbest statements. They make the most God-dishonoring statements, and people think they're really saying something profound and philosophical. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Well, listen, you got to get down there. How are you going to pull yourself up once you're down there? And I tell you what, they say by their own strength, but I tell you the Lord Jesus Christ said, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for who? The ungodly. And you know what ungodly means? People think ungodly is cursing and going to bars and honky-tonks and lying and adultery and all that stuff. And that's awful. That's awful. That's awful sinful. But all you got to do to be ungodly is to be without God. That's all you got to do. Without God, without hope, without Christ in this world. That's to be ungodly. And you know what it is to be godly? To bow to God, to submit to God, to believe His Word, to trust Him, to come to Christ. And our Lord says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And God said, if you're going to come to me, you got to come through my Son. If you're going to come to me without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And there's only one place you can get to Christ, and that's from your heart, and He's sitting at the right hand of the Father on high right now. You want to quit being ungodly? Well, trust Christ. Embrace Christ. Bow to Christ. Submit to Christ. Come God's way. That's the way it happens. And oh my, this living water. Our Lord said, I give living water. This living water is not a wage to be earned. It's not a prize to be sought. It's not a crown to be worn. It's a gift of God's free grace in Christ. The well is deep. Too deep for us to bring up water out of it. But it's not too deep for the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Not too deep for Him. And listen to what else she says now. This just goes to show you, you know, and this is what preaching does. It answers people's questions. It answers people's questions. It meets them where they are. And that's what the preaching of the gospel does, just like this woman. She said in verse 12, art thou greater than our father Jacob? Not only is the well deep, but art thou father greater than our father which gave us this well? And drank thereof himself and his children and even his cattle. Even his cattle. Art thou greater than our father Jacob? She's talking to Jacob's God. She's talking to the one that laid hold on Jacob in Genesis 32 when Jacob was laying there with his rocks, his head on a rock for a pillow. A man wretched got a hold of him. Who do you think that man was? Are you greater than our father Jacob? Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. Oh, but her ignorance of Christ and salvation, her own deep need, something deeper yet. The grace that brought him down. She's speaking to Jacob's God. That's why she asked how. Now she's asking where. But thank God. Our Lord Jesus Christ will not be denied. You know, we sing that song, we will not be denied. Well, I tell you something, Christ ain't going to be denied. He's not going to be denied. Instead of leaving her and her ignorance and her stupidity and her questions and her natural questions and her blindness, He just keeps on dealing in grace, dealing in grace. And oh, she said, are you greater than our father Jacob? Who gave us this well? Who gave us this well? It's an ancient well. Oh my. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old. But that well that God gave, that well of living water, that well was opened before the world ever began. God already had chosen. Listen to me now. God already had chosen who's going to drink out of that water. There's a fountain open for cleansing, Zechariah says. A fountain open for cleansing. And oh, beloved, and I tell you, it's an ancient well. And Jacob and his children drank of it. But this well here is old as man. Before man ever became a sinner, God had a Savior. Before man ever got thirsty, God had a well. Before man ever had a need, Christ was given to meet that need. Huh? James was telling me this morning that somebody sent him a picture of this lamb looking around a door, looking out a door, and said, "Have you seen Mary?" God's lambs, God's sheep ain't looking for Mary. In fact, they ain't looking for nobody. They're not even looking for Christ. You know, whenever they find out they're sheep, when Christ makes them know they're sheep, they don't know they're sheep till Christ makes them know they're sheep. Ain't that right? My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And guess what? They hear him and they follow him. They follow him. And all of God's elect have drank from this well of living water. Abel did. Abraham did. Jacob did. Isaiah did. Paul did. Simon Peter did. And bless his holy name, I did too. And I am right now. You see, the gospel didn't start. You know how this Paul says, you know, the gospel was preached before unto Abraham. Unto Abraham. And just what our Lord answered her. Now she answered, said, "Oh my, are you greater than jumping? This well is so deep, you got nothing to draw with. Are you greater than the one who gave us that?" Well, listen, I'm Jacob's God. And our Lord answered, said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." It wouldn't make no difference if I had a bucket and I dropped it down in there and gave you a drink of this water myself. You'd thirst again. That's why you have to keep coming back and coming back. There's four things. Now listen. Material things cannot quench men's thirst. Fame can't quench it. Glory can't quench it. Honor can't quench it. Pleasure can't quench it. Riches can't quench it. And that's why, you know, the scripture says riches are so deceitful. Almost everybody says, if I just could get a hold of enough money and make enough money or just win the lottery, then I'd be set for life and I wouldn't ask for anything else. That's how deceitful riches is. If you get more you get, the more you want. Oh, you rarely find anybody that's satisfied with what God gives them. You rarely find anybody content with what God gives them. Is that not right? They're like that horse leech. More, more, more. But oh, listen. Philosophy can't quench it. Science can't quench it. Our Lord says, you drink of this well and you'll thirst again. And there's four realms in which can't satisfy man's need. The material realm. The material realm. Anything that's material. Cars, houses, lands, things like that. Any mental, any intelligence that you got. That can't satisfy man's needs. Social. You know, everybody likes to be social. And they got this social media now, and I ain't been on Facebook in 2 or 3 years, but everybody goes on about Facebook. And they go, and there's people that stay on there for hours and hours and hours and hours, wondering about what somebody's going to think about them or say about them or deal with them if they put something out. And I don't care how social you are and how high in society you go, it will not do anything for you. And then religious. Oh, religion can't satisfy you. Religion can't satisfy you. It can't do it. You can join every church in the county. You can hear every preacher. Be baptized in every baptistry. Try out every religion. Try out Buddhism. Try out Catholicism. Try out Mohammedism. Try out being a Baptist, try out being a Pentecostal, try out being anything you want to be. But I tell you this, it will not satisfy you. Huh? Flesh can create desires, but flesh cannot satisfy them desires. Only living water, only Christ can satisfy them desires. Y'all remember the story about the rich man who fared sumptuously every day, was dressed in purple, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was an old poor man named Lazarus sat at his gate, and all he wanted was the crumbs from that rich man's table. And this old boy was in such a sad state, he had sores on him, and the dogs would come up and start licking his sores. Well, one day that rich man died. And the Bible said he went to hell. And then Lazarus died and he was carried into Abraham's bosom, speaking of going into where Christ is. And that rich man said, "Oh, Father Abraham, would you let Lazarus come and dip his finger in water and let one drop fall on my parched tongue?" He said, "Son, remember, you in your lifetime, you had everything. You had your good things. And Lazarus didn't have nothing. And it ain't going to happen. He ain't coming to you and you ain't coming to him." Oh my, that's what I'm telling you, beloved. He had the world and then that satisfied him. Now he thirsts eternally. But look what he said here in verse 14. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give." I like that word. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give, him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting water. Here's the thing. Drink of the water that I give. Never thirst. And not only that, but there'll be a well of water. I tell you what, he said there'll be a well of water springing up in you. Now that's real satisfaction. Huh? A well of water within the believer. You can't run it dry. It's always fresh. Fresh water every day. Ever flowing from our Lord Jesus Christ. Ever flowing in our heart. And everybody here knows that water seeks its own level. It seeks its own level. And let me say something about that. When this living water comes from Christ into our soul, that water in us reaches Christ, the level, the one that gave it to us. And I tell you, it seeks Christ. It's only satisfied with Christ. It's only satisfied with the water that was given to it. And it will never be satisfied with nothing but Christ. Huh? Ain't that right? You know why you're here this morning? That water in you. The Holy Spirit that brought that water and put it in you. You come here and get your fresh drink. Are you getting any? You getting anything to drink? And he says, drinketh, taking it into us. He said, he shall live. It's not bought, it's not earned, shall never thirst. And that shows us the fullness of it. The enjoyment of it. The eternality of it. It satisfies. You can't lose it. Never thirst. It's ours now. And it's in us. And that's why the heart always goes after Christ. Always goes after Christ. Huh? And oh my. Listen to this. You've got to hear this. It's just. Verse 15. That woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water. Give me this water. She finally, get a little understanding. Give me this water. Give it to me. If you're given water, living water, and I live by that water, sir, give me that water. Give me that water. Huh? And look what she said, that I thirst not. And then she goes right back to her natural thinking. And I won't even have to come here and draw any more water. Oh, my. Oh, natural mind can only operate in the natural realm. She says, sir, give me this water so I don't have to labor for water ever again. She's willing to receive from a Jew now. She's awful thankful that this Jew came by. But Christ still yet has to get to her heart and bring her to the place where she sees nothing but Him. She doesn't say, give me this water. Give me this water. That I never thirst again. No, I have to come here and draw any more water. But look what Christ says in verse 16. He said unto her, go call your husband. First thing He says, go. What if He had just said go and not come again? He could have done that. He said, you just go on home. You ain't interested in me. You ain't interested in anything I got. You don't understand the word I'm saying to you. Why don't you just go on home? But that's not what He said. He said, go call your husband and come back. Come back. You go and then you come back. Oh my. Oh, if you really want this living water, you got to come clean with yourself and you got to come clean with me. If He had just said go, but He also said come. And oh my. I tell you what. Lord's going to bring her down to where she understands her true character. Grace and truth. Grace is dealing with her and truth is opening her heart. Look what she says. Sir, I have no husband. I don't have a husband. I don't have a husband. You know, do you think our Lord didn't know that? Oh my. Jesus said unto her, you told the truth. You said, I ain't got a husband. I don't have a... You finally starting to understand what's going on here. And look what He says to her. You've had five of them. Five of them. And the one that you have now is not your husband. You told the truth. You've come to the truth. Oh, what wisdom, what grace in Christ. He knew her. That's one thing folks don't understand. He knows us inside and out. He knew her before He ever got to that well. He knew everything about her. He knew she had five husbands. I don't know if they died or they got divorces. I don't know what happened. But I know right now that our Lord says that the man you're with right now is not your husband. You're not married to him. What does that mean? That means there's living in fornication. And all the wisdom and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, He knew her. He knew her. Knew everything about her. I have no husband. He knows those that are His. He knows their heart. He knows their thoughts. He knows their intention. And our Lord said to her, you've told the truth. You have told the truth. And I've said this before. Honest men don't go to hell. This woman got honest. And what do you mean by honest men? I'm talking about being honest with God. You won't be honest with God until God brings you to the place that you'll be honest with Him. Ain't that right? You won't even be honest with yourself. You'll promise yourself things that you're going to do, and then you don't keep your own promises. You will said. You said the truth. Well, look what she said there in verse 19. Sir, she keeps calling him sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. I perceive that you may be a prophet. What would make her think he was a prophet? Because he told her everything she knew about herself. He told her, said, you told the truth. She didn't say, I had five husbands. She didn't tell him, I've had five husbands, one I ain't got now. No, he told her. He told her condition. He told her what her life was. He told her what she had been involved in. And when she said, I perceive you're a prophet, what she's saying is that you're speaking for God. And when you speak for God, you're speaking to my heart. You're revealing my heart. You're the voice. You recognize the voice of God there. I perceive you're a prophet. You've exposed me. And when our woman said, go call your husband, here's what happens. The question of sin and righteousness has to be settled. Sin was settled at the cross. God dealt with sin at the cross in His blessed Son. Sin was put away once and for all by the sacrifice of God's blessed Son. And she didn't know what sin was until Christ exposed her heart. She knew she is a woman of Samaria. She knew she is laboring. She knew that this man was saying things that she didn't ever know, never heard before. But when our Lord said, go call your husband, she said, I don't have any. I don't have one. Our Lord said, you've told the truth. You've come honest. You've come clean before me. The arrow hits its mark. It's like Nicodemus. When our Lord Jesus Christ said, Nicodemus, I tell you what, how are you going to be born again? The Son of Man got to be lifted up. And he that looketh to Him and believeth on Him, he's going to have eternal life. And I tell you, this sin, question of sin and righteousness must be settled in the presence of God. Now look what she says down here in verse 25. The woman saith unto him, now she's talking about some things she knows now. I know this. I know that the Messiah cometh. The Christ cometh. That Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. I know He's coming. They teach us that, and they've taught us that He's coming. He came on December 25th, so we're going to have a big birthday party for Him. He rose from the dead on Sunday morning, so we're going to have a sunrise service, and we're going to have a bunch of Easter bunnies and some colored eggs, and we're going to celebrate His resurrection. But oh, she said, oh Lord, I know that which is called Christ, when He has come. Listen to this now. He will tell us all things. All things. Didn't He just tell her all things about herself? And watch what our Master says now. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am. Am. You know that he's and he's in italics, that means is added. Our Lord just said, I am. That's what He's saying. I'm that Christ. I'm that Messiah. I'm come. And we'll take up from verse 20 on to for a little while more in this, but listen. If you're thirsty, there's only one place to be satisfied. And that's in the blessed Son of God. His well is deep. He's the only one that can bring any water up out of it. You and I can't go down in there and get it. He's got to break it, and He's got to give it. He's got to give it. And when he gives it, you know what he said? It's living water. It brings life with it. It brings life with it.